All right, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves this week, Mirza Hashem, on the third shir, on Perichot Hei, on chapter 25 in Tehillim. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we spoke the first week, we primarily focused on the idea of Lidovid. We spoke about the idea that whereas normally Tehillim begins with Mizmor Ladavid, or David Mizmor, this Tehillim is dramatically different as it represents a free flow, a stream of David HaMelech's consciousness. Here we're getting a window into David's soul and understanding the very core principles that are important to him. Last week, we focused on the Sod. It's actually number one on your sheet. It's the underlined pasuk that we focused on last week. Sod Hashem liyireyav. Literally, the secret of Hashem is known to those who fear him. Ubriso lahodiyam. And his covenant is to let them know it. So I put on the sheet just a quick review of everything we learned last week. It took me an hour to get through it last week, but it'll take us 3 minutes to get through it this week. So the fundamental question we focused on last week is, what is the sod that requires a relationship with God to understand? What is this secret that David HaMelech is referring to? And last week, we went through five different approaches. A was that the sod is Torah, the deeper meaning and understanding of Torah, that to truly appreciate Torah, to truly appreciate what we saw the Medrash calls the daughter of the Ribono Shel Olam himself, one requires a relationship with God. Torah is not just simply a body of knowledge, it's not just simply a bunch of facts or a bunch of laws, but rather it's a window into the divine. And to appreciate, to contemplate, to truly understand what it is, one requires a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the sod. This B, the sod was how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. That was based on Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, teach me the secret. You love them so much. No matter what they do, you still love them. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to cultivate that same sense of love within myself as well. So the sod, the secret of how much the Ribono Shel Olam loves us, no matter what we do, the singularity of divine love for Klal Yisrael is something that is only understood by those who are close. See, others explained that the sod, the great secret, is what God wants of us. Remember, the greatest challenge of life is trying to understand. We find ourselves in gray situations. We find ourselves in circumstances that are not immediately clear, that are not immediately understandable, and we struggle to understand what does the Ribono Shel Olam want of us in those circumstances. That's sod. That's the secret. And the secret to understanding what God wants of us in life in those difficult circumstances is known liyireyav, is known ultimately to those who have a relationship, to those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Di tzadik v'ralo. What is the great secret? The secret is why bad things happen to good people. Why is it that the righteous suffer? Why is it that a person can do everything right in life and yet still not get the desired results? That's the sod. That's the great secret, and that's only known liyireyav. And finally, E, we saw Rav Hirsch explain that the way to read the pasuk is a little bit different. Sod Hashem, that the secrets are only good for the Ribono Shel Olam. Only God has secrets. Man should not have secrets. If there's something I'm hiding, or there's something I'm concealing, or there's some secret that I have, whether it's a secret, usually it's secrets about myself. We point out, Rav Hirsch explained that everybody lives with some level of secrets, because the truth is, all of us suffer from a little bit of a split personality. How is that? That we try to project the right image, but we also know that on the inside, we're not whole. On the inside, we're not complete. On the inside, there are things that are deficient, that are broken, that require repair. And sometimes we keep these secrets from ourselves. We bury these deficiencies. We bury these shortcomings deep down. And that poses a problem, because the longer you keep secrets, especially from yourself, the more difficult it is for personal honesty and the more difficult it is to grow in life. So Sod Hashem, secrets are good for God, but secrets are not good for us. But the fundamental question we ended off with last week, which is what we're going to address this week, is David HaMelech is saying all of these wonderful secrets are known liyireyav, are only known to those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fundamental question is, what does it mean to essentially have Yiras Hashem? David HaMelech says that the great secrets in life are only known and understood by those who possess this Yira. Yiras Hashem is a word that we use quite frequently, whether you said Yiras Hashem, Yiras Shamayim. And the truth is, as I prepared this shiur, I was a little embarrassed to find myself struggling to actually define the concept. What does it mean as an actual application in life? To be a Yorei Shamayim, to be Yorei Shamayim. Now again, this question of course is important, but now its importance has been compounded by the fact that what? That David HaMelech says these great secrets, the deeper understanding of Torah, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, what God wants of us in life, tzadik v'ralo, to purge myself of my own personal secrets, is only could be accomplished by those who possess true Yiras Hashem. So we're going to try to explore today, what is the definition of Yireyav? What is the definition of those who fear God? What is the definition of Yiras Hashem? So time permitting, we're going to go through seven different approaches. Now, the truth is, as I often tell you, the approaches are not mutually exclusive. They're all right. They're all correct. But you know, the beauty of Torah is, you know, we saw last week that the Sod, remember Sod Gematria is what? 70. Right? 70. So the Shivan Panam Torah, the beauty of Torah is that it's multifaceted. And I think whenever we do different approaches speak to different people because people are all in different stages and different situations in life. And there are certain things that resonate with us depending on our life circumstances. So we'll develop seven approaches for Yiras Hashem and we'll see how to plug them back into the kapitel. For the sake of full disclosure, there are many more than seven approaches. So we may continue this into next week also, but we'll see where this year takes us. So I want to show you something interesting, which is that whenever you want to understand the concept in Judaism, where do you start with? Torah. Good, that was not a trick question. You start with the Torah. And the truth is, whenever you want to find the definition of a concept, the first thing you try to do is to see where is that concept mentioned in the Torah. Look for the context. Remember, you don't have to think things up on your own. Look for the context in which a conceptual framework is expressed, and then try to understand it from there. So, if we want to understand the concept of Yiras Hashem, which right now we'll just very loosely translate as fear of God, it may mean that, it may not mean that, but let's just translate it that way. If we want to really understand this concept, we have to see where it occurs in the Torah. Now, interestingly enough, it occurs twice in Bereshis. Avram Avinu is called a Yorei Hashem, after the Akedah, Ato Yadati. God says, after Avram Avinu expresses his willingness to go ahead and slaughter his one and only son from Sarah, Yitzchak, God says, Ato Yadati, now I know, Ki Yirei Elokim Ato. Now I know that you fear me. We're not talking about that one, and you'll see why in just a little bit. Yosef, actually, this week's parasha. Torah says, it's next week's parasha, that Yosef, when he's brought before Paro, so he says to Paro, Es Elokim Ani Yorei, Es Hashem, I'm a fearer of God. We're not talking about that one either. Why? Because those are individualized Yiras Hashem. Avram Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik are very unique personalities. Instead, what we're looking for is an objective framework in which Yiras Hashem is discussed. And interestingly enough, Yiras Hashem appears five times in the Torah. And I've quoted them for you over here in 2 through 7. Number 2, which is number 1 on the list, Lo sikhal al cheresh, v'lefnei iver lo sitein nechshol. Don't curse a deaf person. Don't place a stumbling block in front of a blind person. V'yareisa me'elokecha. And you should fear God, Ani Hashem. Okay, and again, right now I'm just translating Yira as fear. Just to keep it easy, we're going to redefine that just shortly. Number 3, Mipnei Seva Tokum, you should go ahead and rise before a venerable person. V'adarta Pnei Zakin, show respect the elderly. V'yareisa me'elokecha. Ani Hashem, you shall fear God, I am God. Number 3, V'lo sonu ish es amito, you should not wrong. This actually is the concept of ona'as devarim. Ona'as devarim means saying hurtful things to another individual. You should not go ahead and verbally abuse another. V'yarei same elokecha, you should fear God, ki ani Hashem elokechem. Number 5, Al tikach me'ito neshech v'tarbis, don't take interest. Don't take interest from another Jew. You should fear God. And your brother should live with you. And finally, number 6, this is talking about your Eved Ivri. If you have a Jewish servant, don't work him too hard. Don't give him backbreaking labor. Why? You should fear God. And finally, number 7, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Va'oso Ta'avod, Ubishmoti Shaveya. You should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should serve him, and you should swear by his name. So first of all, you see something interesting, that the concept of Yiras Hashem is used in the positive and is used in the negative. So for example, number 2, 4, 5, 6 are all negative, are all things you should not do. Don't do these things, and therefore you should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, number 3, Mipnei Seva Tokum, get up before an elderly person. And number 7, Es Hashem Elokech Atira, fear God, are positive statements. So already we see that Yiras Hashem can be associated with negative, Yiras Hashem can be associated with positive. Not only that, what else do you see in these, in numbers 2 through 7? What does Yiras Hashem apply to? People and? And Hashem. It's a concept in Bein Adam Lamakom and Bein Adam Lachaveiro. Remember, in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are all things, are all interpersonal halachos, are all dealing with matters and how we relate to one another, and yet the Torah says, V'yareisim elokecha. Verses number 7, Es Hashem elokecha tira, is phrased purely between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, what we're going to try to do today is, we're not going to focus on any one particular pasuk, but we'll glean certain insights from the psukim in the collective. Just interestingly enough, you'll notice also that 3, 4, 5, and 6 are all, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are all from the same parsha. They're all from Parshas Kedoshim, which is just interesting to note. They all occur within the same general context, and of course, number 7 is from Devarim. So let's analyze this. So now at least we see, you know, that Yiras Hashem, leaving aside the individual examples of Yiras Hashem, what we'll call it conceptual framework of Yiras Hashem, appears in 6 different places in the Torah, phrased in the positive, phrased in the negative, both Ben Adam Lamakom as well as Ben Adam Lachaveiro. So now let's begin to try to put together a series of definitions for this concept. Let's take a look at number 8, the Ibn Ezra. So we're going to go from simplest to most complex. So the Ibn Ezra writes, what does it mean, Tiro? What does it mean to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shelo ta'asu mitzvos lo sa'aseh. So in the Ibn Ezra's model, what does Yiras Hashem mean? Yiras Hashem means refraining from sin. Refraining from sin, don't engage in prohibitions, don't engage in mitzvos lo sa'aseh prohibitions, and that's it. The interesting corollary to this shir, the follow-up to this shir, is after we develop a model for Yiras Hashem, we can then do what? Develop a model for Avas Hashem. And the reason why this is very important is because we know, again, we'll have to see, this is a Tehillim shir, so we have to focus on Tehillim, but we will see, interestingly enough, that we know in the world of tshuva that there are two dramatically opposite, not opposite, but different tshuva models. There's a tshuva me'ahava, and there's a tshuva me'ira. There's a returning to God out of love, there's a returning to God out of fear. And we'll have to see, again, we'll figure out how far we go with this concept, but we'll see ultimately how Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem play into this. So for example, in the Ibn Ezra's model, if Yiras Hashem, fear of God, means abstaining or refraining from engaging in prohibited activities, then what is Avas Hashem? Positive mitzvos. Then Avas Hashem, according to Ibn Ezra, would be engaging in mitzvos asay, doing positive. So Yiras Hashem means refraining from engaging in negative activity, and Avas Hashem means engaging in positive activity. Now, what's interesting about the Ibn Ezra? Sounds so simple, but what's fascinating about it? If I were to ask you, just if you were to coin your own definition of Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, let's leave out Ava right now, what do you assume Yira is? A feeling. It's an emotion. It's an emotion. It's interesting that the Ibn Ezra does not translate Yira as an emotion. Instead, what does the Ibn Ezra translate Yira as? It's a behavior. It's a behavior. Why? Now this, again, it's a shir by itself. The Torah does not regulate emotion. Why does the Torah not regulate emotion? Why? Because you can't tell people how to feel. You can't, I'm sorry? Excellent. So what does Rashi HaKadosh say in the Ahavtu Asa Hashem Elokecha? Asay Devarav Me'ahava. When you serve God in a way that emotes a sense of love. The Ibn Ezra is of the school of thought that God cannot command me to love him. God cannot command me to fear him. All God could command me to do, God could regulate my actions. He can't regulate my heart. But herein lies an incredible yesod of Judaism, which is that emotions are created through actions. Emotional realities are created through behavioral realities. If I want to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's no different, by the way, than the way I come to love my wife. How do I come to love my wife? You understand, these concepts were very much shaped. We're very much shaped by the greater society around us. So we assume that what's love? We assume, right? So, you know, you see someone across the field and the sun is out and the birds are chirping and there are music playing in the background and you float to each other and mamish, it's such beautiful bliss. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. Right? It's not stupid. If you have it, great. But that's not the reality of life. Where does love come from? Love comes from when you devote yourself to another. If I do for you, I come, that engenders love for you. It's true in a friendship, it's true with children, and it's true with a spouse, and it's true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why ultimately you'll notice many shalom bias problems occur when people stop doing for each other, when people retreat from one another. When this one goes to their corner, that one goes to their corner, so I'm not going to do for you, you're not going to do for me. That's when people fall out of love. As long as people are continuously doing and serving one another, there are strong bonds, and those bonds, those behavioral bonds, translate into emotional love bonds as well. So the Ibn Ezra is of the opinion that he says, Yiras Hashem is not an emotion. What does that mean? God wants me to fear him? How am I supposed to fear God? So the Ibn Ezra says, you're right, Torah doesn't teach us about emotion. Just like as Chaim mentioned, just like when the Torah tells me that I have to love God, God is not commanding me to love him. How can you command someone to love you? You can't command that. Even as parents, a parent can't command a child to love them. A parent can command a child to what? To respect them. Because respect doesn't have to be emotional. Respect is behavioral. And that is absolutely what a parent must demand from a child. Whether you like me or not, I could care less. It doesn't make a difference. My job is not to be your friend. My job is not to be beloved by you. My job is to be respected by you. And that has to come through in the way that the child behaves, the child reacts towards a parent. So that Ibn Ezra says, Yiras Hashem is behavior. It means ultimately, Shelo ta'asu mitzos lo sa'aseh. So it's not an emotional commandment at all. It's just simply refrain from engaging in negative activity. Okay, that's the Ibn Ezra. We'll call it the behavioral approach. If you look again at number 9, the Ibn Ezra takes a different approach over here. And you see, I'm quoting to you Ibn Ezra's from different psukim. So here in number 9, the Ibn Ezra writes, V'chein lo sikha lo cheirish. So here he's commenting specifically on not cursing a deaf person. And he says the following. He says, V'chein lo sikha lo cheirish, ba'avor shiyesh lecha koach, v'chein lifnei iver. So again, why would somebody curse the deaf person? Why would somebody place a stumbling block in front of a person who's blind? Well, very often it's because they might get some advantage of it, but sometimes people just like to show that they're dominant over another. People just like to show that they have power, especially when people feel powerless in certain areas of life. They like to flex their muscles of self-autonomy in areas that they can. See, right? So the Torah says, V'yareis sam elokecha. You should fear your God, shu yachol laha'anishcha, because God could punish you, l'sumcha chereish de'iver. Because God can make you blind, and God can make you deaf as well. So the Ibn Ezra says, you know what Yiras Hashem means? Yiras Hashem means you better stay in line. Because if you don't behave, the Ribono Shel Olam could punish you. And if you take advantage of others, the Ribono Shel Olam could give you that same handicap, that same deficit. Number 10, the Ibn Ezra says, same idea. V'yareisam elokecha. This is on the pasuk of Mipnei Seva Takum, of respecting the elderly. Why should you respect the elderly? V'tam v'yareisam elokecha she'ya'anishcha b'yimei hazikna. Because if you disrespect the elderly, then guess what? God will punish you when you get old as well. So in this second model of the Ibn Ezra, which is our second approach, we'll call it, it's really, Yareisim Elokech, Yiras Hashem is divine reciprocity. Why should you do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of you? Because if you don't, he can punish you. Because if you don't, he could visit upon you the same wrongful behavior that you have perpetrated onto others. So the reciprocity approach. Okay, look at number 11. Aruch Chaim HaKadosh takes a different approach. And I remember, we'll come back. We're going to have to come back to some of these ideas to fine-tune them as we incorporate others. Take a look at number 11. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh writes in our third approach, V'amar V'yareisem Elokecha, Zu Yiras Onesh Yom Hadin. What does it mean to have Yiras Hashem? Yiras Hashem means that I fear Yom Hadin. What's the Yom Hadin? Judgment Day. this is not Rosh Hashanah, not Yom Kippur. This is the judgment day. After 120, we all come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us for how we lived our lives, for what we did, for what we didn't do, for the faults we have, for the accomplishments we had. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us for everything. So the Arachai HaKadosh says, V'yareisim elkecha, what does it mean to fear God? No, that at the end of the day, I'm going to have to stand final judgment. And so whatever I do, those actions stick with me. Those actions are going to follow me along no matter where I go, no matter what I do in life. You see, the way we often work is we do something and then we move on. Then we move on. And what happens? And we forget about it. We forget about it. The truth is, this concept is also written in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah Avos says, look at three things and know, and if you keep these three things in mind, you will not come to sin. And the last one of the three is kol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. All of our actions are written, and written in the divine ledger. And if a person realizes that if everything I do has a permanence, everything I do is embedded in the divine consciousness for all eternity, then by definition, that gets me to think twice about what I do, about what I say. So the Arachai HaKadosh says, Yiras Hashem, see, this is different than the Eben Ezra, because in Numbers 9 and 10, in the second approach, the reciprocity approach, the Eben Ezra understands that Yiras Hashem means I have to be careful, I have to refrain from doing negative things. Why? Why? Because God could give it right back to me in this world. The Rechaim says, not about this world. Yiras Hashem means a recognition that the Ribono Shel Olam keeps a ledger of everything I'm doing in this world. And after 120, I have to stand judgment for it. That scares me. That scares me. That puts the fear of God literally in my heart, and therefore that shapes the way I'm going to live in this world. Look at the fourth approach. So the fourth approach is also quite interesting. He says, the Gemara says, Mipnei Seva Tokum. So here the Gemara is actually darshaning on the Pasuk of Mipnei Seva Tokum, which again is getting up, respecting the elderly. So the Gemara says, Yachol Ya'atzim Einov Kemishalo Ra'ohu. So I'm going to thought that, you know what, I see an elderly person, and I'm going to pretend like I don't see them. You know, I'm tired. I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like helping. I don't feel like coming to their assistance. But I don't want to, God forbid, want to overtly shirk my responsibilities. So instead, what am I going to do? I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to pretend like I don't see them, right? We all have situations in life where we use our selective vision. Either we choose, we don't want to necessarily run into someone, or we want to try to avoid a certain circumstance. So I'm not going to overtly ignore you. I'm just going to pretend like I don't see you. So you might have thought that in the ability to evade the obligation to honor the elderly, you'll just pretend like I don't see the elderly person. Talmud Lomar, Tokum V'yareisa. Therefore, what the Gemara says, the Gemara notes the juxtaposition. What's the juxtaposition? The Torah says, Mipnei Seva Tokum V'hadarta Pnei Zakin V'yareisa Me'elokecha. So the Torah itself says, what does it mean you have to fear God? Hadavar Hamasur Lelev Ne'emar Bo V'yareisa Me'elokecha. Whenever something is given over to the heart of man, the Torah always employs the lashon, the wording of fear of God. So the Gemara over here is advances something amazing. What's the common denominator among all of the things in the Torah where it says fear God? These are all things where I could fool someone else. I could deceive someone else into thinking A, even though my intention is really B. Look at Rashi number 13 to explain this a little bit better. Davar hamasur lelev. Lelibo shel osa hadavar. Hu yodea imra'uhu olav. So let's just use the simple example of the Gemara. I see an elderly person. Now, I know I saw them. I know that they're present, and I know I have an obligation to react a certain way. But what? But lefi sheyachol lishamet me'enei habrios, shelo yachzikuhu kirasha. But what's going to happen? So there's an elderly person. I pretend like I don't see them. So you're going to see that I didn't react towards them, but you're going to assume what? Silber didn't see them. He didn't see the elderly person. So I fooled you. So at least in your eyes, I have maintained my standing as a righteous individual. Because again, I'm facing a different direction. They're not right in my line of vision. So I could create an alternate reality for those around me. I could fool the people around me into thinking that I didn't really see the obligation in front of me. L'kach ne'emar. Therefore, the pasuk says, V'yareisa me'elokecha. That you should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shekol ha-machshavos geluyos lo. Because you might be able to fool people, but whom can't you fool? You can't fool the Ribono Shel Olam. V'yodea becha, and God knows, shelister ulevatel mitzvaso niskavanta. I might be able to fool other people, but I can't fool HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like I know that I saw the elderly person, I know that I saw the obligation, but I actively chose to shirk it and to literally turn a blind eye to it. The Ribono Shel Olam knows that as well. Therefore, says Rashi over something amazing, that if we go back, and we're not going to go back, but if we go back through all of the psukim, we will notice that these are all things that I could fool other people regarding their performance. These are all things. I didn't remember the way that Chazal understand the stumbling block is giving bad advice. I didn't mean to give the person bad advice. I thought it was good advice. It just turned out not the wrong way. I know it was bad advice. Ribono Shel knows it was bad advice. Mipnei Seva Tokum, I could pretend like I didn't see the elderly person. I know I saw them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that I saw them. Lo sonu isha samito, don't verbally abuse people. I didn't mean to hurt the person. I didn't know the person so sensitive. I didn't know the person would react this way. I knew it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it. Therefore, don't delude yourself. Again, we're not going to go through the rest of it. But so what Gemara says over here is, Yiras Hashem means what? Yiras Hashem means what? As a concept? It means knowing that God understands and is ever aware of my inner workings. Yiras Hashem means, you want to fool other people, that's one thing. Just know that you can't fool God. Just know that the Ribono Shel Olam, he's the Bochin Levavos. He knows what's in my heart. Yiras Hashem means the knowledge or the fear. I don't like to use the word fear, but maybe we'll use the word fear. The knowledge or the fear that I can't delude the Ribono Shel Olam. He knows, he's in my heart, he's in my soul, and he knows exactly what I'm doing and what I'm not. In fact, Rav Hirsch says very beautifully in number 15. Rav Hirsch writes, V'yareisa me'alokecha, and in all these matters, we are not to feel ourselves under the judgment of our fellow men, to be before a human tribunal, but to be placed under the eye of God, the all-seeing one whose constant presence teaches us the most conscientious watch over ourselves and self-criticism of all our behavior. So Rav Hirsch again echoes this same sentiment. He actually quotes the Gemara, Hari davar masr lelev, shnei marayam esem elokecha ani Hashem. So according to this fourth approach, the concept of Yiras Hashem means the recognition and acknowledgement that I'm, like we said before, the greatest challenge we have in life is reconciling our external identity with our internal identity. Because no matter how wonderful you are, and we're all wonderful, there is always a disconnect. There is always a disconnect between the image we present on the outside and the image we project on the inside. And not because we're trying to lie, not because we're trying to deceive anyone, because that's just the nature of the human condition. We're always struggling. We accomplish, we have setbacks. And so says the Gemara, says Rav Hirsch, the whole concept of Yiras Hashem is an attempt to achieve a level of inner piety. Don't get through life projecting the right image. Get through life fine-tuning the right inner image as well. Why? Because even if I've been able to fool people, the Ribono Shel Olam knows what's happening inside. The Ribono Shel knows who and what I really am at my core, and I owe it to myself, I owe it to Ribono Shel Olam to refine that inner image as well. That's our fourth approach. We come now to the fifth approach, and we'll summarize these in just a little bit. So here at number 16, this is actually interesting. This is from a sefer called Igra de Pirka. Igra de Pirka was written by Rav Tzvi Elimelech Shapira of Dinov. And you could see, again, he was one of the great Hasidic leaders, born in 1785. And again, you could see he was in Munkach, he was in Dinov. See, he wrote a beautiful sefer, Igra de Pirka. And he writes the following in number 16. Nira, de svira le dehai v'yareisa melekecha, hu haftacha. So the Rebbe says something quite amazing. He says, everyone understands v'yareisa melekecha as another obligation. Mipnei seva takum v'hadarta pnei zakim. So I'm supposed to respect the elderly. I'm supposed to stand up in front of a venerable person. Why? V'yareisa melekecha. I should fear God. So the Rebbe says, v'yareisa melekecha is not an obligation. Rather, v'yareisa melekecha is a result. Is a result. If I stand, if I respect the elderly, if I don't verbally abuse another, if I don't charge interest, if I don't mistreat my employees, my servants, then what's the result? The result is v'yareisa me'elokecha. What does that mean? Kishetekayim ha-mitzvah hazos. When you fulfill the mitzvah, v'haya ze secharcho. What is going to be your reward? V'yareisa me'elokecha Yagia lecha hayira. So says the Rebbe of Dinov that the psukim are a cause and effect. When I behave appropriately, both in my interpersonal conduct as well as my being adam lamakom, what happens? There's a result. What's the result? What's the product? What's the product of proper behavior? V'yarei sem elokecha. I will have this fear or reverence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at number 17. The Al-Sheikh echoes a very similar sentiment. The Al-Sheikh says, Hineni omer lecha, mipnei seva takam v'adarta pnei zakein, u'bahach shivcha osam, yajichuchu b'derech tova. When you do these things, and these things are choshev, these things are important to you, and these things, by the way, mean the things written in the Pesukim, as well as general Torah, v'yareisem elokecha, you will come to fear and revere God because you will walk in their ways. So what the Igra de Pirka and the Ashech are highlighting is something amazing. Yiras Hashem is not necessarily something we actively strive for. Yiras Hashem is a state of being. And it's a state of being that is engendered through living the proper kind of life. When I do what the Ribono Shel Olam asks of me, when I'm vigilant in my bein adam lamakom, when I'm vigilant in proper interpersonal conduct, when I'm vigilant in fulfilling what is the actual and perceived will of God, that leads me to a new heightened state of being. That heightened state of being is called Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem. So again, it's the result. Yiras Hashem is not something I have to do. Yiras Hashem is the result of leading a proper life, which if you think about it, is so incredibly, such an incredible insight. Because the truth is, we know that when we do good things, you know, we all struggle. We all try to lead a good life, but inevitably we suffer setbacks. But when you're on that, role, when things are going in the right spiritual direction, you feel differently. You feel differently. You feel differently about yourself. You feel differently about the people around you. You feel differently about life in general. What is that? What is that feeling called? The Rebbe of Dinov, the Al-Sheikh, will say that feeling is called Yiras Hashem. It's a state of being that only comes about after one engages in appropriate interpersonal, bein adam l'chaveiro, and bein adam l'makom conduct. Okay, look at number six. Approach number six, which is number 18, and then after approach six, we're gonna review to bring it together a little bit, and then we'll conclude with approach number seven. So what's interesting over here is the following. So here I'm gonna quote to you a Mishnah from Maseches Avos. So this is number 18. So Maseches Avos, the Mishnah writes Antigonus Omer, Antigonus Ish Socho, Ki Bel Mishimon Atzadik. So Antigonus, now Antigonus is interesting in and of itself because you probably haven't met too many people named Antigonus running around. You know, why? Because it's a Greek name. In fact, interestingly enough, the only real Greek name that has remained within the Jewish people is Alexander. Right? And the reason for, you understand, the historical reason for that, the Jews had incredible gratitude to Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was wonderful. As wonderful as despotic, crazy rulers could be, right? But he was exceptionally good to the Jewish people. There was a certain level of Jewish autonomy. We were able to practice freely. There was no ridiculous taxation. So Jews had incredible akar satov. So it's interesting. It's one of the only names that's remained of Alexander because obviously doesn't have its roots in anything Judaic. But Antigonus is a Greek name. Antigonus is a Greek name. Now, how it could be that a great rabbinic scholar would have the name Antigonus, we could blame it on his parents. He didn't choose it. But there's a lot of Torah about Antigonus in the time which, but we're not going to get into that now. So Antigonus from Sochal received from Shimon HaTzadik. Huaya Omer used to say, famous Mishnah, do not be like servants who serve the master for the sake of receiving reward. But rather, you should be like servants who serve the master not for the sake of receiving reward. Now, we're not getting into any part of that Mishnah. What I want you to focus on is the last statement of Antigonus. V'yehi mora shamayim aleichem. And what does Antigonus say? Literally, the fear of heaven should be upon you. So once again, we see someone else using, again, this is of course in a non-biblical context, but now we see again in the Mishnah, the word Mora Shamayim used. So what does it mean? So look at number 19. This is from a beautiful Perush on Pirkei Avos called Avodas Yisrael, which was written by the Magid of Kozhnitz. So the Kozhnitzer Magid says the following. It's a beautiful insight. He says, O Yomar, V'hi Mor Shamayim Aleichem, Ki Yesh Shnei Minei Yira. There are two different types of yira, two different types of what we'll call fear, says the Maggid. He says, number one, yiras ha'onesh v'yiras Hashem. A person could have fear of punishment, or a person could have fear of God. Now, what's interesting is, certainly in some of the interpretations we saw before, those are one and the same. Right? Remember, according to the second Baruch Shem Ibn Ezra, yiras Hashem means yiras ha'onesh. It actually means fear of punishment. But the Maggid splits them up. A person can have fear of punishment and fear of God. He says, l'mashal, and he gives a beautiful mashal. L'mashal, tinok shayarat b'shukim. V'yashav lo kotz b'raglo, v'chala es raglo. So what happens? A child is running around in the marketplace, and he gets perhaps, the kotz literally means a thorn, a splinter. But here it's actually more intense. You know, I guess for our purpose, it'd be like a custom nail. A child steps on something, and the foreign object is now embedded in his foot. And as a result, he's ill. Person gets infection. So what happens? The haven of Aviv, his father understands, Shirifu Asa Vitavasu Shiyachtoch Ma'at Basr im Hakotz. The father understands that apparently in order to remove any danger from his child, not only does the nail have to be removed, but what? Some of the flesh around it also has to be removed. Vitsiva Lerof Elechatro. And the father gives the directive to the doctor to go ahead and not just remove the foreign object, but to remove some of the flesh as well. Now, obviously, a parent has great distress. Even the parent knows that what the parent is doing is for the benefit of the child. The parent has incredible pain over the fact that he or she is going to cause their child pain. So what happens? And therefore, as a result, the father can't look while the procedure is being done. So the father needs to turn away while the doctor is doing his thing. Because what does the parent want to do? What is the parent doing during the procedure? The parent is holding the child. The parent can't bear to look at what the doctor is doing, even though it's the parent himself that gave the instructions to the doctor to do this. The parent can't look. Because all the parent wants to do is to console his child. What happens? So what happens now? So what do children do? Right? So the child spends a day at home, and then mamish, the next day the kid is running barefoot back in the marketplace. So what happens? So what does the father do? Maskiro hakotz harishon. So what does the father do? Again, remember, this is the difficult part in parenting, that we never want our children, we don't want to raise our children in a bubble, so we want them to go back out into the marketplace and run around, but we want them to be, maybe put shoes on, right? We want them to be a little bit more vigilant. So what does the father say to the child? He reminds him, listen, have a good time, but just be careful, because remember what happened with the nail. V'atinok yarimizeh. And the young child becomes very frightened of the nail. Comes down, but v'im hatinok pikeach yasur mizeh ba'avur hatsar sheba la'aviv mimenu shelo yavo lo od. So what's happened? The child has two levels of fear. So one level is, I don't want to get a nail in my foot. But if the child's a little bit older and the child's a little bit more mature, the child saw how much my parent suffered along with me. How much pain my parent had as a result of my pain. And so the child is going to be vigilant for two reasons. Number one, because the child does not want to get another nail in their foot, but perhaps just as important, maybe even more important, the child does not want to cause pain to the parent. This, says the Maggid of Kashnitz, of course, represents these two levels of Yiras Hashem. He says, Kina davar hazeh, kishetzar lanu chas v'shom kivyachol b'chol tzar asam lo tzar, u'bevadai kivyachol yesh lo tzar mizeh. So says the Maggid of Kashan, it's something amazing. We suffer. We all suffer. Sometimes we suffer intensely, sometimes we suffer mildly, sometimes we suffer personally, nationally. There's one thing we know about suffering in Judaism, and that is, some way, somehow, it's always for our benefit. Often we can't imagine how. And again, remember, I want to be clear. People often think that because we accept the fact that suffering is for our benefit, we have to be makabel et besimcha. If you could accept your suffering with joy, all the power to you. That's an incredible, incredible accomplishment. Most of us are not on that level. So we krechts and we complain and we get upset and we ask why. And those are legitimate responses to suffering and to pain as well. But on some deep, at least intellectual level, we have to accept the fact that somewhere, somehow, there's good in this. This is somehow going to be beneficial. Maybe it's not beneficial for me. Maybe it's beneficial somehow for my offspring, for generations to come. Maybe it's beneficial, however it's going to be beneficial, there's some benefit, even in the most adverse circumstances. So on one hand, I know that when I suffer, there's benefit to it. So again, just like the child knows that though it's going to be painful to pull the nail out and to remove some of the flesh, it's objectively beneficial. And he says, but here's what's interesting. The Ribono Shel Olam is just like the parent. So the parent has to visit the suffering, quote-unquote, upon the child for the benefit of the child. The Ribono Shel Olam sometimes has to visit suffering and difficulty upon us as well. And some way, somehow, it's for our benefit. But just like the father has incredible pain and personal suffering when he sees his child suffering, we must understand that the Ribono Shel Olam has suffering as well when he sees us suffer. You see, we're familiar with that concept. And often when we say that, what's our first response to that? Right? So God, you're God. You're God. And you know what the great part about being God is? You could do whatever you want. So God, I have a wonderful Eitzah for you, and I'm not God. Here's the Eitzah. If it hurts you so much, save us both the trouble. Right? Don't give the suffering to me. That way, I'm going to be fine, you're going to be fine. But remember, that's the power of the mashal. The power of the mashal is that sometimes it's necessary. It's not a question. Of course, the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't have to do it. The father doesn't have to take the nail out of the kid's foot either. The father could just leave it there. An infection will set in, and the child could chas v'shalom lose their leg, and the child could chas v'shalom lose their life. The father doesn't have to do it. He could leave it there, and the truth is the kid could go back out and play. Maybe for a couple of days he'll be fine. Nothing. But the father has to do it, because he understands if he doesn't take this dramatic step, at the end of the day, the child will be adversely affected. The Maggid of Kajan, it says, it's no different with our suffering. Yes, could the Ribono Shel Olam spare us of it? Of course, he's God. He could do whatever he wants. But some way, somehow, it's necessary. It has to happen. And again, these are things we struggle with. We often don't. In the nail case, it's very clear why the father has to cause a suffering to the child. Life is often not that black and white, but the model is nevertheless still true. The suffering, the difficulties, the punishments are all necessary in their own way. So we have to understand that when we go through this difficulty, the Ribono Shel Olam is the father holding our hand, who has as much pain, if not more, than we do during the suffering. And he says like this, therefore, Antigonus ends off by saying, "Ulezeh Amar, V'mora shamayim aleichem." What does it mean, have the fear of heaven upon you? Sheniskal ma'asenu v'avodasenu leman lo nigram od tsa'ar lo yisbarach keviyacho. So the Maggid of Kajna says something amazing. He says, you know what yiras shamayim is? Yiras shamayim is the fear of causing the Ribono Shel Olam pain. The fear of causing the Ribono Shel Olam pain. Ribono Shel Olam, I know that what I do impacts you, and it sounds strange. Who am I? I'm one person. You're the Ribono Shel Olam, but that's how much the Ribono Shel Olam loves us. What we do has an impact on him. So says the Maggid of Kajnitz, Yiras Shamayim means two things. Yes, I have to be careful with what I do in life. Why? Because I don't want a nail in my foot. I have to be careful with what I do in life because I don't want to get the patch. But that's vis-a-vis me. That's saying I have to be careful and vigilant with my actions in life because I want to be okay. I want to live a good life. I don't want to get punished. I don't want there to be any negative repercussions of my actions. True, but that's focused on me. But there's another level. That's not called Yiras Shamayim. It's called Yiras Atzmi. I'm looking out for myself. But says the Maggid of Kajnitz, it's a higher level. And that's called, by the way, Yiras HaOnesh. That's, there's a fear of punishment. On some level, we avoid doing negative things because of a fear of punishment. It's very elementary, it's very basic, but it's necessary. If there are no repercussions, then ultimately people will do whatever they want. So yes, I avoid engaging in negative activity because I don't want the onesh. I don't want the punishment. I don't want the negative baggage. But you know what Yiras Shamayim is? Yiras Shamayim is, I realize that what I do impacts the Ribono Shel Olam. And as such, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be careful not to hurt you. I know that when I suffer, you suffer. So I'm going to stay on the right path. I'm going to do what's expected of me. I'm going to do what I know I need to do in order not just to avoid punishment and hurt for myself, but to spare you hurt and suffering as well. So if we summarize, and then we're going to get to the seventh approach in one second. Let's just take a moment to bring everything together. So we have over here so far in our first exposure. Remember, why are we doing this? It's interesting, I hope. Right, but again, why are we doing this? Because remember, David HaMelech told us that what? That the sod, the great secrets of life, A, B, C, D, and E, that you have on your front sheet, are only known to those who have Yiras Hashem, Yireyov. What does it mean to have Yiras Hashem? So now we have six different approaches. Our first approach, which was the Ibn Ezra, is we'll call it the behavioral approach. What is Yiras Hashem? What is Yiras Hashem? Ibn Ezra, we did it 40 minutes ago. Good. Refraining from bad activities. Lo sa'aseh. It's a behavioral approach. Yiras Hashem means that I'm not going to go ahead and engage in negative activity. And the hope is by avoiding a negative activity, by taking a behavioral approach ultimately engenders a feeling of reverence and awe and maybe even fear of the Ribono Shel Olam. Our second approach, which was also the Ibn Ezra, what was our second approach? Our second approach was reciprocity. Reciprocity, that what is Yiras Hashem? It means that if I do bad, the Ribono Shel Olam could deliver that same behavior back my way. I take advantage of people, I mistreat people, I do negative things to God, I take advantage of the elderly, God could take advantage of me when I'm elderly, I give people bad advice, God could cause people to give me. So reciprocity, Yiras Hashem means just know whatever you do to others or unto God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do back to you in kind. No, and that's why, again, it's only the Maggid of Kashnitz who has, in fact, that is Yiras HaOnesh. It's well said. The Ibn Ezra will say that Yiras HaShem means Yiras HaOnesh, fear of punishment. Our third approach was the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, who says what? What's Yiras HaShem? Yira of the Yom HaDin, fear of final judgment. After 120, we all have to stand in for Cheshbon for the way we've lived and what we've done. And so, again, Yiras HaShem means the fear of that judgment. Approach number four was the approach of we'll call inner piety. Remember, the Gemara says that where do you see Yareisim Elokecha? Anytime it's a davar hamasr lelev. Often we project one image, but internally we're another. Yareisim Elokecha, just know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what you're thinking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's on your mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what your real intentions are. Yareisim Elokecha, you may be able to fool people, but Yiras Hashem means know that you can't fool God. Fifth approach, the Igra de Pirka, the Rebbe of Dinov, the Al-Sheikh, which is what? The Yiras HaMelekecha is a state of being. Yiras Hashem is not something you do. Yiras Hashem is not something that you aspire for, but rather Yiras Hashem is the result of living a good life. It's the result of doing what you're supposed to do. It's the result of abstaining from that which you're not supposed to do. That's called Yiras Hashem. And number eight, our sixth approach, which was the Mishnah Maseches Avos, the Maggid of Kashnitz. Yiras Hashem means what? A concern for the Ribono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I care about your feelings. And so I'm going to avoid the negative things in life. Yes, partially because I don't want to get patched. I don't want the onesh, the Yiras HaOnesh. But more importantly, because I know that when I do negative things, and therefore that creates certain results, I know that you having to carry out those results is hard for you. I know it pains you, and therefore, Ribono Shel Olam, I don't want to visit any more pain on you. Which finally now leads us to our last approach. Again, you can begin to understand, I'm going to let you, you're going to do this for your homework, but you can begin to see how these different definitions plug in to David HaMelech's words. So now again, depending on which model of Yiras Hashem one ultimately employs, we understand why these secrets suddenly become revealed to individuals who possess this particular character traits, which now leads us to approach number seven, the Teferet Shlomo. Now this, I have to give you the disclaimer, that this is amazing. This is nothing short of life-altering. So if you're happy with your life the way that it is, you could leave now. But if you want something more, this is going to forever change your conception. So this is from the Sefer Teferet Shlomo. And you can see it's a little bit of a biography over here. This is Rav Shlomo of Radomsk, another one of the great Hasidic personalities. He writes something amazing. He says, O Ye Shlomo, he's commenting on the pasuk of Mipnei Seva Takum. So he says, O Ye Shlomo, Vahadarta Pnei Zakein, What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, "Hadarta, you should have reverence for the elderly, and you should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu." What does that mean? "Shakadosh Baruch Hu nigla besinai, kizaken yoshev biyishi." Remember, the Medrash points this out, that God appeared different ways at different times. Remember, our forefathers who left Egypt had multiple revelations. For example, the Gemara says, God appeared at Yamsuf. Atanta, splitting of the Red Sea. Actually, the Gemara picks up on the fact that the pasuk says, Zeh keli va'anvehu. This is my God, and I will exalt him. And Rashi quotes the Gemara that says, Zeh keli, they were literally able to point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say they were able to identify God. So the Gemara says, what did God look like at the Yam Suf? God looked at the Yam Suf, he looked like a valiant warrior. He looked like a valiant warrior. On the other hand, at Sinai, he also appeared to them. And what did he look like? He looked like an old man. Why does God change his appearance? Because could you imagine if the Ribono Shel Olam appears at Yam Suf as some octogenarian, right? He's 95 years old. He looks very frum. That's wonderful, God. I really don't need you to look so frum right now. What I need you to look is a little bit scarier, right? A little bit stronger. So the Ribono Shel Olam's revelation matches what Klal Yisrael needs. So at Yam Suf, they needed a warrior. That's the Ribono Shel Olam look like. At Har Sinai, which is the revelation of Torah, the Ribono Shel Olam appeared probably the way we often envision him, if we were to envision him in some way. A long beard, very pious looking. Okay, so listen to what Tver Shlomo says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to us at Har Sinai as an elderly person, Yoshe B'Yeshiva. Ulezos Amar HaKosov, listen to this. Vahadarta Pnei Zaken, get ready. What does it mean, Vahadarta Pnei Zaken? Listen, Hadar, see, we use it for revere. But the real shorish of Hadar also means to return. Vahadarta Pnei Zaken, go back to the face of the elder one. Shetachzor limikomecha limala harishono ulamadregas har Sinai shiyihi alachem as his galus haelokus panim bepanim. Says the Rebbe something amazing. You know what the Torah is telling us? Vahadarta pnei zaken. You know what we're supposed to spend our lives trying to do? We're supposed to spend our lives trying to get back to Sinai. The Jew is always going in one direction. I always want to get back to Sinai. Why do I always want to get back to Sinai? Because that was the moment of most intense revelation. Because that was the moment when we felt most connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. V'hadarta p'nei zaken. We are always trying to get back to face the elder. We're trying to get back to ultimately see that visage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we saw at Har Sinai. And you know what happens? Why? Lachin as hiskal skes palm upon him va'alzeh v'yareisa me'elokecha. So what's amazing is the following. You know, the word, the shoresh of Yira, of Yud Resh Aleph, is very similar to another shoresh of what? Ra'a, Resh Aleph Hey. So the Rebbe Radam says something amazing. He says, v'hadarta p'nei zaken. Our goal is to always get back to the elder, to go back to Sinai, to get back to the Sinaitic revelation. Why? V'yareisa me'elokecha. Because what are we trying to do in life? We're just trying to see the Ribono Shel Olam wherever we can. What we want more than anything in life is the ability to see the Ribono Shel Olam in our world, and perhaps more importantly, in ourselves. So what comes out, according to the Rebbe Radamsk, is something absolutely amazing. That we spend life trying to do what? Trying to discover our inner goodness. We spend life trying to get back to Sinai. We spend life trying to discover all of the holiness that's trapped within. That's Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem means the ability to see God both from a national perspective and from a historical perspective. Where is God on an individual perspective, on a personal perspective? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within. I want to show you something amazing. Take a look at 21. I actually quoted this on the Monday, at the Monday night tefillah shiur as well. So some of you were there. So I apologize if it's a little bit repetitive, but it's good chazara. This is from a sefer Das Atzmecha. So sefer Das Atzmecha is a relatively contemporary sefer written by actually the mechaber. The author was anonymous. His name was Rav Itamar Schwartz. He published all of his svarim without his name in it because he wanted to remain anonymous. But his svarim were so popular. He wrote a sefer called Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. Were so popular that it forced him out of obscurity. So he wrote a follow-up sefer called Das Atzmecha, which essentially it's a self-help book. It's a self-help book, but it's a self-help book that allows you to get to know yourself. See, right over here is something amazing at 21. He says, Novin Imkein. We should understand one important thing. Sheshorish heistaklus shedibarno betchila, sheavodas ha'adam leistakel al atzmo kineshama shemelubeshes beguf, velo kiguf shebesocho neshama, hu shorish kol mivne avodas ha'adam. He espouses a concept that everything in life comes down to how you perceive yourself. And there are two basic ways that you could perceive yourself. Either you could perceive yourself as a body that houses a soul. I'm primarily a body, but my body happens to house a soul. Or you could view yourself as a soul that is clothed by a body. Now, lest you think that this is semantics, it's not. Everything depends on how you primarily identify. Am I primarily a guf that happens to have a neshama, or am I neshama that happens to be clothed by a guf? And he says, this is the be-all and end-all in successful living, how I define my inner eye. Avodas ha'adam, he l'salek esara mikirbo, ulegalos es etzem haviyaso shutov. What's a person's avod in life? A person's avod in life is to remove all of the layers of negativity from within and to expose the good that resides within. Look, listen to these lines. Lo kimo sheyesh anashim hasovrim sheadam tzarech liknos hanhagos tovos liknos midos tovos liknos hargoshos tovos. See, you know what the greatest mistake we make in life? We think that we have to acquire good. We think that we have to acquire good attitudes, good actions, good mindsets. Says the Mechaber, there's good news. You don't have to acquire a thing. You don't have to learn anything new. What do you have to do in life? Lo tzarech liknos klum. Tzarech rak legalos es hatov hatamin bisochinu. You know, I don't have to acquire any good because the good already exists within. Our only job in life is what? To expose the good that is buried deep. And sometimes it's buried very deep. Sometimes it's obscured by many layers of impurity and many layers of life ambiguity, but it's all there. All I need to do is reach down deep, clear away all of the spiritual debris, the life rubble, and the good will be inside. He says, "Es hanashama hatohora shenata kodesh baruch hu banu shi etzem haviyasinu." If you look down deep enough, what you will find is the beautifully pure soul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted within each of us, that is the very essence of our existence. Why am I sharing this with you? Because I think this helps to clarify what the Tiferet Shlomo is saying. The Tiferet Shlomo explains that the whole essence in life is vahadarta p'nei zakin. The whole essence of life is to be able to get back to Sinai. Obviously, figuratively, what does that mean? V'areisam elokecha. Because what are we trying to do in life? What's our goal? What's our goal? Our goal is to see the Ribono Shel Olam. There are two levels seeing the Ribono Shel Olam, as we said. They're seeing the Ribono Shel Olam in the greater world, which is important, but I think more important than seeing God in the world is what? Is what? Seeing God in yourself. Yiras Hashem, says the Rebbe of Radomsk, is the ability to see God within. The ability to see the holiness within. The ability to see the godliness within. So much of the negative activities we engage in life is why? Is because we forget how good we are. We forget that we're special. We forget that we're unique. Because if you think about it, what do we tell our children? If we have a child that's a certain age and the child does something that's so immature, what do we say to the child? It's beneath you. It's beneath you. It's not even a question of that's bad behavior. It's beneath you. Right? You're holding in such a different stage in life. So what's part of our maturation process is, yeah, so a 10-year-old has to realize that he's not 6, and a 15-year-old has to realize that he's not 10, and an 80-year-old has to realize that he's not 4. So in every stage of life, we have to recognize where we are. And so much of the negative things, because we all make mistakes. Why do we make mistakes? Not because we're bad. We're not bad at all. We're wonderful. Not because we don't care. We all care very much. So why do we engage? Why do we make mistakes in life? It's very simple. Because we lose sight of who we are. Because we forget that we're magnificent. Because we forget that we're holy. We forget that we're special. We forget that we're unique. We forget that we have something to offer. We forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes and loves us so much. That's the Rebbe of Radomsk. That's Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem has really nothing to do with seeing God up there. It has everything to do with seeing God in here. It's the ability to perceive the Ribono Shel Olam within. And especially if we take this last definition, the words of David HaMelech become so profound. Sod Hashem liyireyav. The secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the secrets of God, are revealed to those who revere Him. And what is David HaMelech perhaps referring to as Yiras Hashem? Perhaps what the Tiferet Shlomo said. You know how successful living, the secrets are revealed? The secrets are revealed to those who appreciate, understand, cultivate, nurture, and nourish the godliness within. If I see, if I recognize that, as we saw in the Das Atzmacha, there's so much holiness within. If I recognize that that nitzutz, that spark of the Ribono Shel Olam that He implanted in each of us when we came into this world is yearning to be fanned, is yearning to be amplified. It's there and it's burning bright no matter how many layers may obscure it. If I recognize that, there's a lot more clarity in life. Suddenly, all of those things that once upon a time were obscured, some of those things that were secret, some of those things that were ambiguous, suddenly become much clearer to an individual who has a strong sense of holiness, a strong sense of self, of Jewish self. Sod Hashem liyireyav. The ultimate form of Yiras Hashem, again, is the ability to see the godliness, the goodness, and the holiness that resides within. All right, we'll stop over here for today. We'll see what we're going to do next week. Stay tuned. Yes.